First of all, I want to mention there's a note in your bulletin in the sermon notes. Some of the ideas and illustrations in the sermon I've kind of borrowed from a pastor in New York named Tim Keller. And there's a sermon that is not really exactly like this one and not really making some of the same points, but that goes a little deeper into some of the ideas we're going to be talking about this morning. And I've put a website on there for you if you'd like to listen to that and listening to a little bit more about Jesus' authority, which is what we're going to be talking about this morning. I am a part of Generation Y. And my generation, in general, I'm generalizing a little bit, and generations after mine, tend to be skeptical of authority. Maybe overly skeptical. But authority is kind of the A word for my generation and younger. We don't like it. We don't like when people say things like, because I said so, or else. My generation tends to see those words as oppressive, dehumanizing, demeaning, and leaving us in ignorance, telling us to do things without really saying why or giving us any reasons. Generation Y does not respect because I said so or else authority. We want reasons. We're not just called Generation Y because we follow Generation X. We're called Generation Y because we ask why. And we want reasons for things. Usually the model of authority that we see is because I said so or else kind of authority. But I think that my generation and many of us who really have issues with authority are mistaken on one thing. That we associate all authority with because I said so or else kind of authority. Of anyone, Jesus could have used because I said so or else. He's God. He has the right to do that. But I think that Jesus shows us a different model, a different kind of authority. And I think Jesus' authority and the way he uses his authority becomes the foundation and the model for our mission as the church, for his followers, for his disciples. Next point. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20 is often called the Great Commission. It's when Jesus says, this is what I'm sending you out to do. This is your mission. If you're going to follow me, this is what you're called to do. He says this, of course, after he's raised as the resurrected Jesus. We looked at it last week. For the next few weeks until Pentecost, taking a break for Mother's Day next week, we're going to be looking at just these three verses, the Great Commission, because I think they're a great summary of what we're called to be. And this Great Commission is not just a command. It begins with a statement about Jesus' authority. This morning I want us to notice five aspects of Jesus' authority. And I want to show how they provide a foundation and a model for Christian mission. The first aspect of Jesus' authority I want to notice is that Jesus' authority is received. In verse 18 it says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Usually, we try to take authority. We want to grab it for ourselves. But Jesus emphasizes throughout the Gospels that he is being obedient. He is being submissive to the Father's authority. The passage in Daniel chapter 7 was kind of a cosmic picture of this happening. The Son coming to the Father, the one who sat on the throne, and receiving the dominion, the authority over the earth. Jesus receives the authority. I think the best example of this is in the Garden of Gethsemane. The night that Jesus is arrested, he's praying and he says, God, I don't want to have this suffering. Please, if there's any way, take this cup, this suffering from me. But then he says, but not as I will, but as you will. Jesus is saying, as the Son, I am submitting to my Father's authority. Many of us want to have authority. We want other people to do what we tell them to do. We want other people to have to give us what we want to have. But we don't want to submit to authority. Heaven forbid anyone should be able to tell us what we should do or what we should have. Jesus submits to authority and through that receives it. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus' authority is received, not taken. The second aspect of Jesus' authority is that it is displayed. Jesus' authority is displayed. Matthew 5 through 10, we're going to take a little trip through the Gospel of Matthew this morning. Quick one. Matthew 5 through 10 is Jesus displaying, showing his authority. After the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7, it says that now when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. So instead of saying, because I said so, you should do this, the people recognize Jesus' authority in his teaching. And then in chapter 8, what follows is showing all of the ways that Jesus has authority. It says he cleanses a leper. Jesus has authority over disease. Jesus heals people. He has authority over our bodies. It says Jesus stills the storm. He has authority. The nature listens to him. He has authority over nature. And then it says he casts out demons. He has authority over the spiritual realm. Ultimately, he says he has the authority to forgive sins. He forgives one of the men that he heals. Ultimately, in Matthew 28, we see that Jesus now has authority over even death itself. The Gospel of Matthew is displaying Jesus' authority. I had a language arts teacher when I was in 5th and 6th grade, Mrs. Tianello. And she was teaching us how to write and how to tell stories. And what she said to us over and over again, and I still remember, was show, don't tell. Show, don't tell. Heard it over and over again. What Mrs. Tianello wanted us to do was to paint a picture with our words. Not just say something happened, but depict it, portray it, display it. And that's what Matthew does as he's talking about Jesus' authority. It is easier to tell people something. It is either easier to tell people why they should obey you. Because I'm your boss. Because I'm your mom or dad. Because I am your teacher. Because I'm the president. Because I'm God. You should obey me. What's harder, but better, a better way to communicate authority, is not just to tell people why they should obey, but to show people why they would want to obey. Why they would want to follow. Why they would want to listen. And that's how Jesus approaches his authority. He displays it before he says it and tells it. Third, Jesus' authority is absolute. It's absolute. A theme in these last three verses is the word all. And because of translation, we don't see all of them, so I want to just read it for you. Verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus' authority is absolute, and I think that is both a fact and an opportunity. It is a fact because God made the world. He created the world. He created us. He rules over it. And we're told that Jesus, as God, participated in the creation of the world. And because of that, they have authority over it. They have the right to determine how things go on here. And in that sense, the fact of Jesus' absolute authority is exclusive. The earliest Christians, one of their claims was Jesus is Lord. And to say that was to say that Jesus is the only one who has the ultimate authority. It's not Caesar, it's not the political powers, it's not anything else, any other gods or anything. It is Jesus who has authority. So there's a fact, but it's also an opportunity. It's because Jesus has authority over this whole world, absolutely, over every nation, over every person, over everything that has been created, that Paul can say, as we read last week, that there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's because he has authority and the right and the power that he can say that. Jesus' authority, his absolute authority, is exclusive in one sense, but it's also radically inclusive because Jesus uses his authority to invite us in. He makes it available to all. Because he has authority over all, he can invite all into his kingdom. into his life. And what makes Jesus' absolute authority an opportunity is how he uses it. Fourth, Jesus' authority serves. Matthew 20. Jesus is speaking of authority. And in Matthew 20, verse 25, he says to his disciples, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them." He says, most of the authorities that you know use "because I said so" or else authority. They rule over you. They're tyrants over you. "It will not be so among you. But whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave, just as the Son of Man came, not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus says, I have authority. I'm the Son of Man. But I did not come to be served. I came to serve. Jesus uses his authority to serve and to love. I want to just take a moment and contrast those two kinds of authority. How we use authority versus how Jesus uses authority. The purpose of our authority, the way we use it, tends to be for personal gain. Getting what I want. If I have authority, I'm going to use that influence, I'm going to use that power to get what I want. Or as a church, to get what we want as a church. The purpose of Jesus' authority is to invite us into a kingdom. Into his kingdom. To invite us into a better life. And into a better family. The means of our authority is fear, or else. I have authority over you, you should do what I say, or else you might be punished, you might, whatever, however I want to respond, you're at my mercy. The means of Jesus' authority is healing, as we saw, teaching, equipping, and dying. The means of Jesus' authority is love, not fear. And the result of our authority tends to be bitterness, hatred, humiliation, pain, and oppression. Division. I'm part of a whole generation that hates authority. It has been divided. When you say, "because I said so" or "else," what you're doing is saying, "I'm up here, you're down here." That creates division. It creates bitterness. It creates hostility. The result of Jesus' authority is victory over all of these dehumanizing forces. Death, sin, oppression. Reconciliation, relationship, is the result of an authority that serves and loves. How we use authority is why authority gets such a bad rap. We need to recover Jesus' kind of authority that serves. And because it serves, Jesus' authority has the power to liberate, create, empower, and invite. Back in Matthew 10, Matthew has established Jesus' authority through all the teaching and the healings and all of these things that we talked about before, it says, "Then he gave his disciples authority." Matthew 10, verse 1. "Then Jesus summoned the 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and sickness." Jesus passes it on. It empowers. I want to give you a couple examples, because I know some of you are probably still saying, "I don't like authority." I want to give you a few examples of where I think submitting to authority is both necessary and liberating. First of all, if you want to be a piano player, you need to submit to the authority of your piano teacher. And I want to do that because I believe my piano teacher knows what she's doing. I know that if I follow, if I listen, if I submit to her and do what she says and practice, that I will have the freedom then to be a great piano player, to play the songs I want. I will be empowered to do what I really want to do and to be a musician. So I submit willingly to my piano teacher's authority. We submit willingly, hopefully, to our doctor's authority. We believe that they know, hopefully, what they're doing, that they have our best interest in mind. They want us to be healed, hopefully. And they have access to the things that allow us to do that. So I believe that if I take this medicine that they give me, if I undergo this treatment, I will be liberated to have the life that I want to have. The ability to do what healthy people do. And so I submit to that authority so that I can be liberated and empowered to live a healthy life. If I'm drowning in the ocean, I'm going to hopefully submit to the Coast Guard's authority. You know, someone comes down, and hopefully I'm going to do what they tell me to do. I'm going to let them take me. I'm going to let them take me where they want. I'm going to do whatever they tell me to do, because I believe that if I do that, I will have to be liberated and empowered to live life instead of die there. I submit to their authority because I believe that their authority has the power to liberate me to do what I want. We have to submit to authority. I hope you're more and more convinced that authority is not necessarily a bad thing. But what makes the difference? Why can we joyfully submit to or give authority to someone over us? Why would you want to give Jesus authority over your life? The things I just mentioned. Because you can trust that Jesus has your best interest in mind. He's not out for personal gain. And we see that on the cross. He didn't want to go there. He went there because he has our best interest in mind. Because he loves us, we can trust Jesus. Because we trust that he knows what he's doing. That he has the wisdom as the creator, as this teacher that we see. If we really follow Jesus' teaching, I think it is the best life we can live. And that's what it means to give Jesus authority. To trust that he has the wisdom to give us the life that we want if we will simply follow him. We can joyfully submit to Jesus because we can trust that he has the power to give us and to give you what we desire. That is what the resurrection is. It is a promise that Jesus has the power to bring life to us. We can willingly give Jesus authority over our lives because he loves us, because he is far wiser than we are, and because he has the power to give us what we truly need and desire. We see that in the fact that he passes that authority on. We saw in Matthew 10 how he doesn't just hold on to the authority for himself, he gives it to his disciples. In Ephesians 1, Paul says, I pray that you would know the immeasurable greatness of God's power on your behalf, because that's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Paul is saying that God's resurrection power is being offered to us. It's an invitation into that power and that experience of resurrection. So the Great Commission is a command. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. It's a command, but it's also an invitation. As Tim Keller says, the love of Christ is the only thing that can constrain us in a way that we love to obey. The church has had authority in our culture for a long time. The church has had influence, political influence, social influence. I'm afraid that we might have gotten a little lazy in that time. It had become easy for us to kind of sit back and say, you should do this because we said so. You should do this because we're being a part of the church is your key to being a part of the society. Because I said so, you should come to church. You should do what we tell you to do. That's no longer the case. Our culture no longer gives the church authority over their lives. And as we sit here in church, as church people, we can sit here and we can sulk about that and lament, oh, the good old days when people just came to church because I said so, or because they thought they were supposed to, or that was the thing to do. Or we can get to work on doing authority Jesus' way, on influencing the world and people Jesus' way, by showing the world why it is great, wonderful, joyful, liberating to follow Jesus, instead of just telling them. Parents, you have the authority to tell your kids to come to church. And there are times you may need to use that. But don't just tell them to come to church. Show them what a difference following Jesus makes. Show them that knowing Jesus and worshiping him and learning from him makes you more loving, more caring, more joyful. Show them how it pushes you out into the world to love other people and to serve other people. Show them what difference it makes, why they might want to come to church, why they might want to follow Jesus. So often we wonder, why do kids come to church through high school? And they go to college and they go off and do their own thing. And this isn't the case in every situation, but a lot of times it's because the kids have been coming to church because their parents said so. And not because they saw the difference that Jesus makes in a person's life. At your job, in your neighborhood, you may have authority. But don't use that authority to complain about people or to tell them they have to do this. Come alongside them, help them, serve them, and then invite them into your home, literally into your home, into your life. Let them see the joy and the love that Jesus is giving you as you follow him, the freedom that he's offering you and that you're experiencing. Invite them in and serve them. As your pastor, this means that I am committed to not just tell you to go read your Bible, tell you to go out and tell the story, but to live a life where you can see the joy and the love of following Jesus in me. That I would love you and care for you and show you that, not just tell you that that's what Jesus says to do. It means that if I want you to read your Bible, I have to come alongside you and help you do that. If I want you to tell the story, I have to come alongside you and show you what happens when we tell the story of Jesus and equip you and empower you to do that. It's harder to be a pastor that way, but I think that's what this is calling me to commit to you, to love you and serve you and to help you be disciples of Jesus, not just to tell you to do that. We need to show the world what it means to joyfully submit and to give authority over ourselves. Show the world what it means to joyfully submit to someone who loves you. When people see us joyfully submitting and following Jesus, when they see us empowered and liberated, when they see us having new life, when they see us inviting them in, that is when we can make disciples of all nations. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, give us the strength to let go of the authority over our own lives and hand it to you. Help us to trust that you love us more than we could ever imagine, to trust that you are far wiser than we could ever be, to trust that you are more powerful than anything we could do for ourselves. Help us to learn from you. Help us to follow you. Help us to be your disciples, joyfully, lovingly, humbly serving the world. Amen.